And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program comes from Chicago and was written by Joseph Mindell. It is entitled, The Story of a Rich Man.
Something to eat. Answer when I talk to you.
You don't like my singing?
No, I don't like it.
I have to stay here. But you...
What do you mean, you have to stay here?
Unless you're willing to let me go.
You know as well as I do that you're here only because of your Rabbi Nahum.
Oh, I see what you mean.
It's true, isn't it? I know what happened. I saw it with my own eyes.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it is on account of Rabbi Nahum.
What's the matter with you? You're in prison. What are you so cheerful about?
You mustn't think that a prison was any more pleasant in that time than it is today. Yet 150 years ago, in a town in a little corner of Europe, Reb Asher watched the prison door close and sat in the dark and was content. It was so long ago that who remembers the man in the prison cell? Who remembers even Rabbi Nahum himself? Therefore, I will tell you the story of a rich man. To begin at the beginning, you must know that Reb Asher had a fine house and a linen tablecloth for the Sabbath and silver spoons and a servant. Naturally, when someone knocked at the door, it was the servant who opened it.
Yes? What do you want?
Reb Asher is not at home.
And if he is, what has that to do with you?
If you will please be so good as to tell him that I am here.
I don't run to call Reb Asher every time a beggar knocks at the door. Here.
I didn't ask for money.
You don't have to. Your clothes ask for you. What are you waiting for?
For Reb Asher?
Now look here. There's no use appealing to Reb Asher himself. That's all you'll get.
What's going on here?
He refuses to go away, Reb Asher.
My good man, you shouldn't act like this.
You are Reb Asher?
It's inconsiderate, to say the least.
I am Rabbi Nahum.
And besides... Rabbi Nahum?
Yes.
Forgive me, Rabbi Nahum. Numbskull. Good for nothing.
How was I to know Reb Asher? Look at him. He's dressed like a beggar.
Oh, be still. I've been expecting you, Rabbi. Come in. Please come in. I hope you'll understand you're most welcome in my house.
I understand. It is only my clothes that are not.
I will never forgive myself, Rabbi Nahum. And yet...
And yet, Reb Asher?
You'll excuse me for saying it, but a man is entitled to expect that a rabbi will look like a rabbi.
I did not mean to deceive you.
Oh, of course not. I only meant that perhaps you should think a little more about your clothing, your general appearance. I'm being presumptuous.
Reb Asher.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. You don't have to say it. I know about the poor.
Maybe you don't know, Reb Asher.
After all, Rabbi,
I am not sure that I really know.
Ask anybody how much I gave last year. Anybody.
Sometimes I catch a glimpse of what it means to be hungry and sick and lonely. Only a glimpse.
May we be preserved from closer knowledge.
That is not what I pray for, Reb Asher.
You're not absent-minded at all. You know your coat is old and torn. You want to be poor.
No, I want to be close to those who need help.
I'll not pretend that I understand you at all, Rabbi Nahum. Well, you've come for a contribution, haven't you?
It's a strange thing, Reb Asher.
What is?
How often I find the need to say the same thing in a different way. I would say that I have come to ask if you also want to help.
Ask it any way you like. You shall have the money. Only not now. Now it's late, and I've had a room made ready for you.
Reb Asher, I hope you will not be offended.
Why should I be offended?
Before coming here, I met Doof, the tailor, and he asked me to stay with him in his house.
I see. I understand perfectly. Why should you want to stay with me? After all, I'm not poor like Doof the tailor.
Rabbi Nahum, there is something I must tell you.
I'm listening, Doof.
4 plucked fowl and a bushel of potatoes were delivered at Reb Asher's door today.
I suppose that at your house we will eat no chicken.
When a poor man gets to eat a chicken, Rabbi Nahum, one of them is sick.
Never mind. I didn't come here to fatten myself.
Still, I must tell you that you will probably rise hungry for my table, whereas...
I'm not complaining.
Whereas if you ate with Reb Asher, who spends more money in a week than I earn in a month... Oh, but let it pass.
What do you have against him, Doof?
I? Nothing. Nothing at all. He's a fine man who gives generously to charity.
You make it sound like nothing.
It's no great accomplishment. He has plenty of money. It's only just that he should give some to the poor.
And the poor? What about them?
I don't know what you mean, Rabbi.
You want justice at the hands of Reb Asher?
What's right is right.
What are you prepared to give?
You know what I have to give, Rabbi Nahum?
Yes, I know. There is justice, and there is also love.
You are perhaps not surprised that neither Doof nor Reb Asher entirely understood Rabbi Nahum. He was not an easy man to understand. Yet both, in their own way, were pleased that he'd come to live among them. And at the first Sabbath, when he arose to speak, the congregation grew still more quickly than usual and waited for him to begin.
You are looking for something, Rabbi Nahum?
I do not see Doof in the congregation, Reb Asher.
Naturally not. The tailors have their own synagogue. You knew that, Rabbi.
Moses spoke to the children of Israel and said, "You are standing this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, the hewer of wood and the drawer of water. All of them together, Reb Asher, in one congregation."
I do not speak for myself, Rabbi, but Levi here is a scholar.
Thank you, Reb Asher. That is perhaps an exaggeration.
And the others as well. This is a congregation of scholars. And when they discuss the Torah, what could tailors understand?
Reb Asher means to say, Rabbi, that the piety of the unlearned is not the same as the piety of scholars.
If thou hast learned much Torah, ascribe not any merit to thyself, for thereunto wast thou created.
The words of Rabbi Yochanan. You see, we are not entirely ignorant.
Then you also know the words of Rabbi Simeon, who said, "Not learning, but doing is the chief thing." And
it appears that Rabbi Nahum does not share our reverence for learning.
And whoso is profuse of words causes sin.
Oh, now,
just a moment.
We will listen, even though you make accusations against us.
I am not your judge, Levi. I am saying what was written long ago. He whose learning exceeds his deeds, to what is he like? To a tree whose branches are many, but whose roots are few. And the wind comes and plucks it up and overturns it.
Again, you accuse us.
Levi, how can I accuse when I come to you a stranger, knowing no one? But it may be that you, knowing better than I, accuse yourselves.
I won't listen to another word. Not another word.
We will listen to you, Rabbi Nahum, here in the Taylor's Synagogue. Yes,
what shall I say to you, Dove?
Tell us what you said to Levi, to the scholars.
I see you already know.
It doesn't matter. We'd like to hear it again.
Why?
Is that important, Rabbi? Only speak to us as you spoke to them.
Then this is also a learned congregation.
We study a bit in the Torah, but scholars. Rabbi, we're tailors.
To Levi, to Reb Asher and the others, I spoke about the piety of scholars. Dov, what shall I talk about with tailors? Perhaps you too would prefer that I go without speaking.
No, Rabbi Nahum. You talk. We will listen.
This is the kind of man Rabbi Nahum was. He might have conversed with learned men, but he prayed in the synagogue of the tailors. He could have lived like a scholar, but instead, he went from door to door a beggar. Not for himself, you understand, but for those in need. It was said that he had a list, a secret list of poor widows and children, of the sick and the aged, of the orphan girls without dowries. For them he begged, but not for himself. Therefore, when he spoke, people listened, and just when they were beginning to think they understood, something else happened.
There you are, Rabbi Nahum.
Don't bother the rabbi now, Beryl.
What is it, Beryl?
Rabbi, you must help me.
Of course, if I can.
It's the wheel on my wagon. I can't tell you how many times I've fixed it and straightened it. Oh, that wheel.
Yes, go on.
What is there to say? It's broken for good. Rabbi, what is a teamster without a wagon?
Rabbi, if you give him a single penny, he'll drink it right up.
Please, Reb Asher. I can't spare very much, Bear.
Whatever you can give me. Oh, thank you, Rabbi Nahum. Thank you very much.
Where are you going, Beryl?
Where, Reb Asher? To buy a new wheel for my wagon, of course.
Wait. I'll go with you. Wait for me.
There, Rabbi. That's all that's left.
What have you done, Reb Asher?
I found him in the tavern just as I expected.
By what right did you take the money from Baal?
You don't understand. He was spending your money.
It was his. I gave it to him.
He was squandering it on drink.
Have you ever had such a longing, Reb Asher?
I'm not a drunkard.
It must be a terrible need. He's in the tavern, you say.
It's no use. He won't listen to you.
Maybe not. Still, I must return the money you took from him.
Rabbi Nahum, there is a limit to understanding.
Reb Asher, shall we help only those we deem virtuous?
In those days, there was a certain baron who owned the houses and workshops, the towns and villages, and ruled over them all with a stern hand. When one day Beryl the teamster disappeared, everybody knew what that meant, and Rabbi Nahum went to see the baron.
Why have you put him in prison, Your Excellency?
My dear Rabbi, I cannot be expected to remember every petty criminal that I lock up.
Beryl the teamster, What crime has he committed?
Oh, yes, the teamster. He scratched a trunk he carried for me.
But, Your Excellency...
Or maybe he splattered my coach with mud from his wagon. I don't remember. I know what's in your mind, Rabbi.
Do you?
You're thinking that I'm an evil man.
No, Your Excellency. I'm searching for the portion of good that I know to be in all men.
Yeah, you may turn out to be a very dangerous person, Rabbi.
I am looking for a way to make you understand that no man has the right to take away arbitrarily, without cause, another man's freedom.
You talk to me about my rights?
Yours, as well as the others.
Oh, then I was mistaken. You're not at all dangerous. You're a philosopher, since you persist in discussing theoretical questions, and philosophers bore me. You may go now.
How long will you keep him in prison?
Who? Oh, Beryl, the teamster. I haven't decided. Of course, he could be released immediately if someone were to pay his fine.
You mean his ransom?
I'm not fussy about words, just so long as you pay in hard cash. Are you still looking for the good you say is in all men?
It is sometimes hidden very deep, Your Excellency.
Rabbi, I don't see you reaching for your purse.
I will bring the money.
Welcome to my house once again, Rabbi Nahum.
Thank you, Reb Asher, and good Shabbos.
I can promise you a fine dinner. What did you say, Rabbi?
Good Shabbos, Reb Asher.
I'm afraid I don't understand the joke.
You invited me to come to your house.
Of course, but...
Therefore, I have put on my Sabbath clothes, and here I am.
Yes, but today is Wednesday.
In the prison where Beryl is, it is Wednesday.
I don't know what you mean.
Here for us, there are silver candlesticks, and wine on the table, and fish cooking. Good Shabbos, Reb Asher.
You had no intention of eating with me. Why did you come?
Don't you know? To remind you that you are a rich man.
It would have been enough to ask me, Rabbi. I would give you the money for Beryl.
I know.
It was not necessary to play this cruel masquerade.
It is not yet finished, Reb Asher. You still have your role to play. You must also say good Shabbos to me.
Don't, Rabbi Nahum.
For am I not here, sitting at my ease, free to come and go?
Whatever you say about me, it's true. But you have no cause to reproach yourself.
I tried to feel what Beryl must feel, the darkness, the damp walls crowding in.
I'll get the money at once, this minute.
But I could only think that it is good to be free.
And then we'll go.
Therefore, you must remind me too, Reb Asher. You must say, good Shabbos, Rabbi Nahum.
This was long ago, and even after 150 years, it is not easy to understand Rabbi Nahum. Nevertheless, you can believe that those among whom he lived did not remain unchanged. Certainly, this is what the Baron believed.
My dear Rabbi, as long as you were a philosopher here in my presence, I could overlook it.
Indeed, Your Excellency.
It was harmless, though tiresome. But your people seem to take you more seriously than I did. You have a disturbing effect on people.
And so I am, after all, a dangerous person.
I can't have it, you know. I can't have the people stirred up.
I would not have them otherwise.
Rabbi, why don't you just go away from here? I will permit you to leave the province.
A strange thought comes to my mind, Your Excellency.
I'm waiting for your answer, Rabbi.
It almost seems to me that you are reluctant to put me in prison.
Your visitor is here, Rabbi.
Oh, come in, Reb Asher, come in.
You have an hour, as usual.
Thank you, guard.
So something is troubling you, Reb Asher.
You must be a very wicked man, Rabbi Naum.
Reb Asher.
The Lord loveth the righteous, the psalm tells me. He feedeth the hungry.
He raiseth up them that are bowed down. And he sets loose the prisoners.
Yes, he sets loose the prisoners. There's more, Rabbi. But the way of the wicked he maketh crooked. You must be a very wicked man, Rabbi Naum.
You mustn't talk like that, Reb Asher.
How do you expect me to talk if you're here in prison, if God allows you to remain in prison?
Others can endure it. I am content to endure it, too.
But you don't have to endure it, Rabbi. You don't have to wear torn clothing and go hungry.
How can I help those who have no choice if I cannot feel what they feel? Don't you see, Reb Asher?
No. No, I want to, but I can't. I see only that you are content. You really are content.
Today, it is you who are troubled, Rabbi Naum.
How many weeks have I been here, Reb Asher?
It has been a long time.
There is an orphan girl who was to be married.
Tell me where to find her. I will provide the dowry.
And a sick widow with children. Oh, if only I could go out for a week.
It's not the same, is it, if I bring the money?
Just a week. It's foolish even to think of it.
Maybe it's not so foolish, Rabbi. Maybe if I spoke to the Baron...
Oh, it would be useless. Oh, he would not let me go.
But what if he had another in your place for the week?
No, Reb Asher. I could not permit you to do it for me.
Strange thing, Rabbi Naum. I never thought of it that way. I was thinking that I wanted to do it for myself.
Here, Mr. Reb Asher. Your friends brought you something to eat. Answer when I talk to you.
You don't like my singing?
No, I don't like it.
I have to stay here, but you...
What do you mean? You have to stay here.
Of course I do.
You know very well that you're here only on account of your Rabbi Nahum.
Is that why?
And here you'll stay if he doesn't come back.
He'll come back.
What's the matter with you? You're in prison. What are you so cheerful about?
Do you really want to know?
I asked to.
It's because of something Rabbi Naum once told me. Who is wise, he said? He that learns from all men. Who is mighty? He that subdues his anger. Who then is rich? He that rejoices in his portion. Which is to say, the man who respects the work he does and is content with himself. Now, do you see why I sing?
All I see is that you're in prison in place of Rabbi Nahum.
It is no little thing to be in his place.
You're a fool. Don't you know that you can't study to be a saint?
Who said anything about that? I'm only trying to be a man, a rich man, like Rabbi Nahum.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Harry I. Hoffman, prominent Chicago civic and philanthropic leader, member of the Board of Trustees of Radfez Zedek Synagogue of Chicago, and patron of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Hoffman.
In today's program, we witness the development of a man. The man named Reb Asher, from one, who gave to charity but felt no sympathy with the needs of those he helped, to one who derived his greatest contentment from his love of doing good. We heard Rabbi Noam say, in giving, money is not the only thing. It is also important to feel another person's need. He did not expect Reb Asher to understand him at that time, but by the end of the story, Rabbi Noam saw that his words had been as seeds that flowered. His integrity and compassion had a powerful force, acting on Reb Asher and causing his conversion. We also can learn from Rabbi Noam that no word and no life lived is without its influence. Let any man in his own deeds stand for the right, and he can be certain his life will have meaning. For everyone he touches cannot help but be influenced by his example and by the power of his actions. We must not despair because the results are not always apparent. All growth and change takes time, whether it is the growth of a flower or the maturing of a man's character. The development is taking place in private, locked up in the secrecy of another man's life. The overwhelming important issue of today is the question of war or peace, slavery or freedom. Our observance of the Passover season reminds us daily of the ancient struggle of man to be free. And this reminder may discourage us. How long, O God, we are tempted to ask. I believe, however, there is an answer in the lesson of today's program, an answer which tells us not to despair. If it takes time for one man to achieve understanding, shall it not take a longer time for the whole world to achieve peace? Let us resolve to be confident that the seeds of kindliness and virtue that we plant will germinate and exert their influence so the world will be a better place for our children and our children's children.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. Eternal Light Drama today, The Story of a Rich Man, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Arthur Peterson, Claire Baum, Ken Nordine, and Maurice Copeland. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Bernard Berquist. This has been an NBC radio production directed by Howard Keegan and came to you today from Chicago. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.